your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto, and I'm happy to be back this week. This is my first real live show, and I'm really excited and a little nervous. The question today came from a man who's a very long-time Reiki student from British Columbia, Canada. And Philippe asks, why aren't we healthier? And that was a great question. At first, my mind went to, well, you know, why questions aren't that great, because why questions bring out reasons. And it's hard to have a reason because we all have our different paths. But it led me to a lot of other questions, so I'm going to try to address Philippe's question, why aren't we healthier? And especially, why aren't we healthier when we practice Reiki? By going back a few questions to something like, what is healing and what is health? These questions are seem to be very personal and very individual. When I first was practicing Reiki, which was in the early 1980s, people used to say, come to class and say, I'd like to become a healer. And I would tell them that I didn't know if I could teach them to be a healer. I could teach them Reiki, which would give them a way to contact the energy of Reiki. And then whatever would happen with that was their own path. And this is what I saw over and over. So then I began to ask myself questions because, for instance, treating people who had a limb amputated, I wondered, well, why am I treating them? Am I treating them thinking that they're going to grow back an arm or that their amputation is somehow going to be healed and is healing returning a body back to what we might call whole or normal? And this was very, very confusing for me. So when I thought about Reiki and I thought about Hawaii Otakata's stories, which were always very phenomenal and sometimes unbelievable, I realized that I had to find my own answer. So as I worked with Reiki, treating and giving classes and listening to the stories of some of my students, I realized that this question was much bigger than I had imagined. What is healing? I went at first to a part of me that realized that I had this belief system that a whole person had two arms, two legs, two eyes, two ears, all of our senses, and was somehow normal, whatever that meant. And quite a few years into my Reiki practice, I realized that a whole person could be somebody who, for their own reasons, whether it was through birth or through accident or through injury, that they didn't seem to have what I called a normal body. And this really embarrassed me because here I was a Reiki master and I didn't know what I would do with these people and if I was really treating them to make them whole. And this brought me into a very deep process in myself that realized that there were many places in myself that didn't feel whole, and that this was a kind of defense mechanism. And when I met people, especially people who were participating in the ski program in Winter Park, Colorado, which is an amazing ski program for all kinds of disabilities. Even today, I realized that many of them were whole and, well, for our lack of a better way to say it, they didn't look whole, but they were whole. And so this was really confusing for me. And it took another few years to realize that wholeness is, for me, a way of being that a person has that accepts who they are with whatever body they have, whatever color of hair they have, whatever parents they have, whatever culture they have, that they really open themselves to accepting who they are, and they are willing to be a participant in their life in a way that allows other people to see the gifts and the challenges that they have in relationship with each other. Healing isn't necessarily something that we equate with another word, which is curing. And my dad was a medical doctor and a very old-fashioned small-town GP. And when I grew up, we just talked about a cure. And for me, that was like, if I had a cold, then I would find a cure for the common cold. That was something that was really big when I was growing up. Now we're looking for a cure to cancer or a cure for AIDS. And I wonder about this, where does this fit into Reiki and where does this fit into my life now that I have this idea or this understanding of what healing is? So again, there was a lot of confusion and a lot of, you know, trying to find an answer. And still, even today, there are so many instances where I just have to have another take at these two words. What is healing and what is a cure? And then the next question, of course, that comes to us is, well, if we're practicing, if the students of Reiki are practicing something called the healing art or even a healing technique, which does not include some of the spiritual aspects of some of the different forms, then what is healing and why do we practice Reiki? Because it seems like that if we practice Reiki and it was to heal us and it was healing us, then why do we still suffer from the common cold? Why do we die from cancer? Why do we gain weight? Why aren't we healthier, as Philippe says? So over the last few weeks, I've really studied this question inside of myself, and I had to come up with this one answer, which, of course, isn't so satisfying for myself, and that is that it is important for me that I, as I practice daily Reiki treatments, as I apply the principles that we have in our practice to my daily life, there is a slow process that is happening for me. And I need to go back into my history to talk about this process. So when I was first a student of Reiki and practicing and teaching in the 1980s, there was a feeling that I had, and of course then I was, you know, in my 30s and my body was really strong and I could eat anything, and it just felt like, you know, I didn't need to really take care of my body or find out if I needed to have a certain diet. And then gradually as I began to practice Reiki, there were things that just dropped away out of my diet. And there was a moment about 14 or 15 years ago where I really knew that if I didn't change my way of looking at food and its relationship with how my body structure was at the moment, that something was going to shift inside of myself. So I got busy and went on a macrobiotic diet, and I had a friend, and she was a wonderful macrobiotic cook who served me by traveling with me for almost a year, and it was a really wonderful experience for me. I felt so healthy. I lost the extra weight that I had. I had lots of energy, and I felt healthy. So I've had the experience not very long ago of really feeling healthy. And then as I was traveling, I was in South America, and it was very difficult for me to get some of the food that I needed in the way that I travel. And so, meaning that I'm here 3 days and then travel a couple of days, then I, you know, go to someplace else. So to find sources of food and what I needed to stay on a macrobiotic diet was pretty tough. And when I went off the macrobiotic diet, I didn't ever find my way back on. Now, that was, for me, a really crucial timing. Like, why couldn't I have the motivation, knowing how great I felt in the moment? What kept me from being motivated to go for it again, find a new cook, find a way to support my macrobiotic diet, and still travel to all these different countries, and so on? And, you know, over about 4 or 5 years, I gradually gained back the weight that I had lost. I never went back to the diet that I had before the macrobiotic diet, which was great. And I'm much more aware of the amount of food I eat now. I'm much more aware of what I eat. And yet, you know, I still haven't regained that healthy quality that I had back then. So I have to say for myself that Reiki is not going to do it for me. It will support me in helping me be aware of what foods may or may not serve me at a certain time. Reiki certainly for many people has changed the way that they are with alcoholic beverages, and some people have just stopped drinking because it just doesn't feel good. So maybe if you're a Reiki student, you will have noticed that your diet has changed over the last years. And where's this new diet going? Well, I don't know. We're going to come back after our station break to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I'm your hostess, Phyllis Furumoto. Here's our commercial breaks.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
The new home for visionary positive change. 7th Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis, and I'm talking about the question, why aren't we healthier since we practice Reiki? And before I get back into the next little piece that I have to share with you about this question, there is a question online. So I have a caller, and I'm ready to take the question.
Yeah, hello, is that Phyllis?
Yes.
Hi, my name's Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, I'm calling you from London, England.
Okay.
I believe you know a friend of ours, Ines.
Yes, oh yes.
Ines, Phyllis, I've got thousands of questions to ask you.
Okay, let's start with one.
Let's start with it. It's always a good start.
Yes, it is.
In fact, I've just changed my idea hearing your last discussion.
Oh, good.
And it was talking about diet and looking after yourself.
Yes.
And it brought to me the, you know, show gratitude to every living thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that you know, that I'm not, I do try and show gratitude, but I don't do it to myself. I do it to everything else.
Well, that's a very good point. And so, do you have a question or is this a comment?
Well, that was both. It wasn't my original question I phoned for.
But I think it's very pertinent. You know, my question at the end of my dietary story was, you know, why wasn't I willing to make the effort to go back on a macrobiotic diet, find a new cook, you know, put money where my mouth was, literally.
That's right.
You know, find a great macrobiotic cook that was willing to travel with me and pay their expenses and keep myself healthy. And, you know, it is really something inside of me that isn't willing to really take care of myself in a way that I know is really going to work. And the show gratitude for every living thing does really include me. This is giving me a great motivation. So,
sorry about this.
No, don't be sorry. I think it's great. I love getting impetuses from different people. That's why we're all in this business. So to, you know, take care of each other and to remind ourselves, you know, a part of our practice. So thank you very much. And I think that taking care of ourselves starts with, you know, our physical part, but you know, when my physical body feels great, well, I'm more emotionally healthy. I can be more clear spiritually, and I have a much better relationship. So it works all the way around.
That's right. I'm quite aware of that. It's just a case of doing it.
Yes, exactly. So
So
now I have to do some more Reiki to get going on the doing part.
Yeah.
Did you have another question?
The symbols.
Yes.
We're taught symbols. We're never supposed to draw them again. I feel a burning urge to draw some of the symbols. Is there anything wrong with that if I was to burn them and it was private? And
I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm not sure what your purpose is. So what I would say to you...
It's just something inside me.
Pardon me?
It's just something inside of me.
Right. And I want to honor that part. I think that is the number one thing. So if you have an urge to do that, then my advice to you is to go to your master and to say, you know, I just need to write these down on paper and look at them. And then go from there. See what... where that will lead you, because my guess is I really trust your intuition. I trust all of our intuitions when we really need to do something as a student, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Well, I couldn't see anything wrong with it, but I was told I wasn't supposed to do it. So,
well,
you know.
What I tell my students is that... the way that I teach, anyway, is that the symbols are for myself. So I shouldn't write them down in a book that somebody else is going to look at.
Oh,
and
no, no.
It would be better if I didn't write them down on a piece of paper.
Yes.
But if you wanted to do that and then burn the paper afterwards, it's no problem.
Yeah, that was the idea. That was the original,
Right. Right.
So,
and have you talked to Innes about this?
That would be okay with you, yes?
Pardon?
That would be okay in your mind.
Yes.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Because for some reason, I just really feel the need to do that.
Uh-huh. Well, and I would really go back to your own master and talk to her about it also.
Oh, yes, I will.
Great.
I have tried.
Perfect.
Right. Her mum's not too well, as you perhaps know.
Yes, I know.
Okay,
well, thank you very much, Jeannie.
It's lovely talking to you, and it's wonderful that you're doing these programs.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a joy.
Okay. Lots of love and Reiki.
Take care.
Keep listening.
Great. Thank you, Jeannie. What a good tip about the... 5 precepts. So I maybe should talk a little bit about those since she brought them up. In the practice that I learned, I had 5 sort of guidelines for living. I call them the 5 precepts. And as she mentioned, the one of them is show gratitude to every living thing. The other ones are just for today, do not worry. Just for today, do not anger. Honor your parents, teachers, and elders, and earn your living honestly. These 5 principles came from, a text written by the Emperor Meiji in the late 1800s. And Dr. Usui, who was the founder of Reiki, really was taken by this writing, and these 5 precepts come from this writing and are used by the students in our practice to guide their lives and to stimulate thought. So it's not really about never being angry again, for instance, in the just for today, do not anger, but it's really understanding when you are angry, where does it come from, and what can you do about it, and what kind of space do you create when you're angry, and is this the kind of space you want to share with people around you? And the questions, you know, go deeper and deeper, and that's the purpose, one of the main purposes of these precepts. And it helps to change your relationship within yourself and with other people. So now my challenge is to find out what this means to me. Show gratitude to me. Show gratitude to me as a living thing. And I'm definitely going to have to figure out this thing about diet. Right. So, speaking of Dr. Usui, there is a little part of Dr. Usui's story, which, of course, the whole story is quite controversial, and there are some forms that go back to a kind of more informational and more data-oriented story, and the story that I use is one that was passed down to me from my grandmother. And it's a teaching story, and a story that really transmits a certain energy to students, which I really love. But the piece of the story that interests me is Dr. Usui's work with some people that he just did the treatments, and he didn't involve the people that he was treating in the practice at all. So when he thought that he was healing people, he sent them out and got them jobs, and eventually they came back, and even though they were still healthy, they didn't want to go out and work for somebody else. They would rather stay in the slums and beg or do whatever they wanted to do. And they felt really pleased and happy that they were not sick anymore. But Dr. Usui believed that he didn't really use the gift that he had received on the mountain and for the greatest benefit of the human beings that he had touched, because he realized that he didn't give them a way to balance their own form and essence, their own body and spirit. So he went back to his time in the monastery and took some time to really meditate and think about what he wanted to do next with this gift that he was given. And out of that began to create the system that that has been passed down to us. And the system involves us. We become students of the energy of Reiki. We become partners with the energy of Reiki. And we become part of this practice. And in our daily practice, we are able to understand that there are lots of lessons that we learn. And that, are we ever healed? Thoroughly, totally, completely? Well, that's a question for each of us. Now it's time for a break, and we'll be back with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. This is Phyllis Furumoto.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
The Unity Radio Hour, more than a radio show. The Unity Radio Hour is leading-edge spirituality, which will help you discover new ways to enhance your life, your relationships, your career, and more. Plan to spend every Wednesday afternoon with your host, Mindy Ottlin, for the Unity Radio Hour, broadcasting live on the Seventh Wave Network at 12 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Central.
Get ready to embark on a 13-week journey to discover how you can maintain a positive philosophy in your life to bring out your true potential in all areas of your life. Begin today, and host Mark Johnson will help you make it available for tomorrow. Tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, I'm back, and this is Phyllis. So I've just been talking about leading up to this question, what is the goal for this practice? Is the goal, where are we going? In some of the practices that we have, enlightenment is the goal. For others, the practice is the result of the practice is that we become more conscious of our health. For others, we think about healing. And for us, it seems that the goal is to be healed. And this is another big question. What does that mean? What does that mean in your life? If you felt like you needed to be healed, what would that look like? And this is something that's been really interesting for me. Way back in the early 1980s, I went to the seminar, and the facilitator asked us about world peace and said, you know, we all talk about world peace. We all, you know, would like to have world peace. And I would like for you to take a few minutes to write down what world peace would look like. Well, that was not as easy as it sounds. I really encourage you to do this same exercise because, as far as I'm concerned, it's as potent now as it was then. So then, after giving us a few minutes to write down our ideas of world peace, what it would look like, then he asked, what would it feel like to you? Like, what would the feelings be if we had world peace? And then the next question was, what would it take to achieve the feelings that you have? What would it take to achieve the vision that you have of world peace? And then, of course, the next question was, what would you have to do to attain your vision of world peace? And more importantly, what would you have to give to have world peace? What would you have to give to have world peace? This was so challenging for me. And I think that we could do the same thing with this question. What does it mean for us to be healthy? What does it feel like? And what would it take for us to give, or what would we need to give in order to be in this state of health? And how can we maintain the state of health?
my feeling and my understanding of the practice that I have taken into my life is that my contact with Reiki, the energy, allows me to be supported in these decisions that I make, in the commitments that I make, and in the feeling that I want to have. And the feeling that I really am drawn to go to is this feeling for me of oneness, this feeling that I receive when I treat someone else. Often I have this feeling of being one with that person. Sometimes it's even physical. Sometimes I put my hands on somebody else and all of a sudden my hands seem to go into the person's body and I'm one with them. You know, I don't have any sensation of where my hands end and I don't have any sensation where their body begins. It's all one. And that feeling is very beautiful, and it's something that, of course, I've longed for all of my life. So this is something that I really want to experience daily, if possible. So I treat myself daily, and sometimes in my daily treatments, I have that experience in the treatment of myself, this feeling of oneness. I don't have all these different people fighting for survival inside of myself. I'm just one. And that just one person is really beautiful. Then I go out into my world and my whole day is shifted because I'm one with everyone that I meet. And this is something that I carry with me until I lose it. And sometimes I lose it because I'm driving in a car and somebody does something I don't like, or all of a sudden I find out I'm late and I don't like that, or whatever little thing draws me out of this oneness into separation. So I'm just wondering if this feeling of health and this feeling of healing has to do with this state of oneness. Do we need to have healthy bodies to feel the state of oneness? Well, my experience is no. Is it okay to have an unhealthy body, whatever that means, and still achieve for even a few minutes in our lives this understanding, this feeling of oneness? What happens to us when we have this feeling of oneness? Does it motivate us to become healthier? Where are we going in our practice? Why should we practice daily, and why should we receive Reiki treatments if it's not going to guarantee health? Well, these are great questions, and one of the things that I know for myself is that as I do my daily treatment, the reasons why I do my daily treatment shift and change, and basically my list is just growing longer. So in the beginning, when I first started doing my daily treatments, the reason that I did them was because, you know, my master told me that this is what I should do in order to have value from the practice, whatever that meant. And I saw that over the long term, who I was and my priorities changed, my diet changed, you know, the way that I cared for myself changed. And then, you know, somebody could say, well, but did it change enough? And I say, well, have I lived long enough to have it change to a time when I'm really healthy? So right now, of course, I have these little bits and pieces of things that I would like to be different in my physical health, but basically I'm a very healthy person, and I wonder, can I be a very healthy person and still be 30 pounds overweight? And is that really overweight, or is that the weight that I need to be in this moment? So all of these questions come back around to what is it that we are working for? Is there an ideal? Is healing about an ideal state of being, or is it to really simply accept where we are right now in this moment as being whole? And then the next moment that we accept that we are whole. And what does wholeness mean? This is the part that I find quite interesting, because it seems as though that wholeness comes from more an integration of what I would call these two parts of ourselves, form and essence. If we are too overbalanced in one part, then the other part appears to not be taken care of, or appears to have needs that we sort of need to take care of, and we sometimes take care of them in different ways, like trying to find somebody to take care of them for us. So for me, this practice of Reiki allows me to see that my balance inside of myself, of my form and my essence, remain balanced. And if I can do that, then I feel healthy, and I feel like the relationships around me are healthy. Well, lots and lots of questions, and I don't have so many answers, because they change as I change. And I have this understanding that for all of us, we have our own feelings and our own process, and as we go through each of our processes, the most important thing to remember is to accept where you are. Because once you accept who you are, and you accept all of those things that you don't like, and you accept all of those things that you do like, then you have a basis, like a springboard, on which to take your next step. If you are constantly trying to hide something of yourself, a part of you that you feel ashamed of, or a part of you that you feel like isn't good enough, or a part of you that you don't want anybody to know about, that part of you takes your energy, and it doesn't allow you to take your next step, because you're constantly having one part of your energy be back to kind of take care of that part of yourself. The very interesting thing for me, as I've been with my own personal growth process for the last 27 or 28 years, is that what we think are some of our worst parts of ourselves, the places that we feel sometimes ashamed of or sometimes insecure about, those sometimes are the things that people outside of you, the people who are in relationship with you, find are charming, are really gifts for them, are something that is actually your contribution to their life. So it's always interesting for me to get feedback from people saying, oh, I really like this part of you, and I'm going, oh no, I don't like that part of me. And having a conversation about this and finding out that, wow, I could like this part of myself too. So try that and see how that fits into your picture of healing. See how that fits into your picture of wholeness. These are great lifetime questions that nobody can answer but yourself. We'll be back in a few minutes with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And today we're talking about ourselves. This is Phyllis Fumoto. I'll be back with you in a few minutes.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the Seventh Wave Network.
Improve your spiritual well-being and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie, broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education.
Attention swimmers, get out of the water! Everybody, out of the water immediately!
Dude, it's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hi, here we are back again. This is Phyllis, and I'm back with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Well, you know, some people ask me, what does that mean, balancing form and essence? And for me, I have had this wonderful opportunity to get involved with a martial art from Japan that was founded about the same time as Reiki, actually, called Aikido. And one of the great masters of Aikido had a way of talking about the world, about our universe, what we live in. And he used to talk about the absolute universe and the relative universe. The absolute universe is the part of the universe that is just so. We're here. We're on this earth. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west. That's just so. We have our own path. That's just so. And then there's the relative universe. And the relative universe is something that, of course, is relative, comparative, and often competitive. So my little story about us as each of us as human beings, and I will refer to myself in particular because I don't want to speak for you, is that when I was in the womb, I was one. I was in the absolute universe. There was no separation. And that was a physical understanding and state, as well as a spiritual state. This is what I believe. And when I was born, and the minute that the umbilical cord was cut, I dropped into the relative world. Now, there, in this relative world, you can remember the absolute universe. But oftentimes, the relative universe takes over. And it certainly did for me. My childhood was interesting and somewhat painful because Well, for one, I was in a Midwest town where there weren't any other Orientals around, and it was just after the war ended, and many people had a lot of prejudice about Japanese people, as you can well imagine. So I was I had a taste of what racism and prejudice could do for a young child, and it was really interesting for me to try to figure out how to handle myself in these situations. But, you know, I really felt like I created a lot of defense mechanisms that really put me into comparative with everybody else. And, of course, when I compared myself to other people, I always came out lower than they did. You know, I wasn't as good. And when I really began to practice Reiki, one of the things that happened was that I got back in touch with my absolute world, my absolute universe inside of myself, and got reconnected to my soul, my place of oneness in the world, and my place of oneness within myself. And in creating this balance of being more and more connected with my absolute universe inside of myself, the relative universe started to change, because I could see that there were things there were comparisons that I made that weren't even relevant, if I may use that word, that weren't even appropriate. It was like, well, does the taste of chocolate or the taste of strawberry ice cream, which is better? And for me, they're both great. And so I had to understand that there could be two different opinions. There could be two different points of view that would be the truth. There could be two different points of view that could be equally as relevant and as equally beneficial to me as a human being. So as I began to practice Reiki more, one of the things that happened was that even on a physical level, I realized that two people could have very different experiences of the same situation. For instance, I can treat someone with Reiki, and my hands can feel very, very, very hot. And the person who's receiving the treatment at that same moment will feel them being ice cold. And that's their truth, and my truth is that my hands are really hot. And when this happens over and over again, it can stimulate you into understanding that another person's view of the world is their view, and your view is your view, and they don't have to agree to be the truth. This is a very profound piece for me of my own healing, because I got to see that I could have my own truth, and that it didn't need to agree with my parents, my teachers, my friends, my partners, anybody in my world. And it doesn't mean that I can be contrary. It just means that I can have faith in my own experiences and in my own feelings, and understand that I can keep those as my own truth. And this really has created a lot more peace in my life, so that the precepts that I mentioned earlier of just for today do not worry and just for today do not anger become real qualities of my life. So now, instead of worrying mostly, I worry, my time of worry each day becomes less and less. Until there are days, actually, that I don't worry, which is amazing. So this practice, for me, is bringing about a healing. But the healing is not something that I can predict. Now, that might be a bit hard to understand, but it's like this. If I would write down who I would be if I were fully healed, I could do that. And what I know about Reiki and what I know about my practice so far is that I can wish for something, or I can see that this would be me as a perfect being. And the next month, I see a different perfect being. So it's obvious to me that my integration of my absolute and my relative universes are a part of my healing. And this healing goes on and on and on. It changes with each spiral of healing. As my colleague Paul Mitchell once said, we are healed enough to take our next step. We are healed enough to take our next step. And that is what is really important. So with that thought, I leave you for this program time and leave you with your own contemplation of what is healing for me, what is health for me, and how do I get there and how do I maintain it. Take care, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.